All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another installment of the PVD Cast. I'm John Orlando, back here on the only podcast that's live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via the capital city of Columbus, Ohio. Joining me, my guest, the man that has been on this podcast many times. I'm not sure you or Jeremy Madrox have been on this podcast more than anyone else.
Probably. I think he's up to I think he's past three. This is three for me.
So. This is three for you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, my man, Adam Michaels, ladies and gentlemen, joining us.
Thanks again for putting me on.
Hey, no problem. No problem. Although, I don't want to start off on a downer. But this could be the last time you show up on this podcast, correct?
And yeah, unless you get some kind of
remote access.
Right, telephone capability.
There you go.
Yeah, this will be the last time.
Do you publicly want to explain why?
Sure. So Adam Michaels and the family will be relocating to Raleigh, North Carolina. I've taken another job down there. So this is actually my last week in the capital city. And I'll be going to another capital city, I guess.
Yeah, that is true, because Raleigh is the capital of North Carolina. It's a nice town. I've been there. You know, I have family down there. I've visited, and it's a very nice town.
Well, maybe if you come down and visit sometime, we can do one maybe live and indirect from
Raleigh, North Carolina. There you go. I got it. All right, so are you excited to go down?
Yeah, that's certainly one of the emotions that I'm feeling.
Sure.
There's a lot. But nervousness, excitement, all that is building up for sure.
But the job is a pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? It's one of those type of jobs that's a once-in-a-lifetime deal?
Yeah, so you know? We've been thinking about moving to a warmer climate for a while and just waiting for the right opportunity. And it's a good advancement opportunity in my career. And it's not something I could pass up.
Florida was never on the list.
It was.
Oh, really?
But not Southern Florida. I mean, we were looking at Tallahassee, Gainesville, Jacksonville, maybe. But that might have been a little too far.
Okay. Gotcha.
I read, this week in Raleigh, it's in the high 90s, which is going to be just hot enough for me.
Ooh, high 90s?
Yeah, it's going to be a little toasty.
A little toasty, huh?
Mm. But, come October, November...
Right, when it's still like 65 down there,
right,
and we're freezing our asses off up here.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's when...
You'll have the last laugh.
Something like that. Faux show.
All right. So you're not packing everything up, right? You told me you got a moving company coming to help you out.
Yes.
Man, that's the way to go.
I tell you what.
I'll tip my hat to you.
I'll let you know how it goes, but certainly...
Yeah, you have to pack your clothes, right? That's the only thing you have to pack? They'll pack your clothes, too.
Yeah, they pack everything. The only thing they're not packing for me is I have, because, I'm so technologically inclined, I have three flat-screen TVs. Two of them are a little bit older in nature. I think the one we're seeing here in my room is from 05, is the model. So I have to pack those up myself just because they want, almost $200 to pack them and ship them for you. So... I'm like, I'll pack those myself.
I thought that they didn't touch your clothes. I thought you had to do those yourself. Really?
They'll pack your clothes.
Wow.
They even said, for the chests of drawers and everything, you don't even have to empty those.
Really?
Yeah, as long as there's only soft goods in there, they'll just
pack
them as is.
Would they pack firearms?
That I don't know.
I think that's one thing you have to
take. Yeah, they did give me a list of things they would not ship, and that was one of them.
Gasoline,
paint. All that fun stuff, bug spray, kind of crap you have to make sure you're rid of.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll be damned. I did not know.
Yeah, I know.
I thought you had to pack your clothes.
I mean, I'm going down a little bit earlier, so I will be packing most of my clothes, just the suitcases, but...
Gotcha.
It's pretty much hands off.
I think moving is the worst thing that people can do.
It's terrible.
It sucks.
And that's the thing, I've been thinking about getting a new car for a while now. I don't know if that will happen. Now that we're doing this move, but I thought about getting another pickup truck. I had one back in the day.
Yes.
But all I kept thinking was, man, then everybody's going to have ask me to help them move. That's always the worst part of it. You know, it's like you're okay doing it for friends, but then you have the people that are just kind of friends that are like, hey, you have a pickup truck?
You know what? I got to think. I don't think there's been too many. Like, I used to have a pickup truck. Back when we first met, I had a pickup truck. I had a Ford F-150 Super Cab that had the extended, like, little cargo space that people could sit and a little bench seat in it. So it wasn't four doors, but it had the extended spot. I don't think too many people asked me to help them move. To be honest, I don't think so. I think that's a stereotype.
I had my pickup truck for about 5 years. Excuse me. And I think I helped like four or five people move.
I know you helped me.
I mean, like I said, that's different. But there were some people that, you know, would only talk to every once in a while that would still want them. The help, and you're like, yeah, I guess so.
The funny thing, and here's an interesting story. So I think it was King of the Ring. When was that in Columbus? King of the Ring 2000?
2002.
So we all went down to the pay-per-view. And in the back of my truck, on the bench seat, I used to have this red little pillow because, quite frankly, I mean, it wasn't the most comfortable seat, let's be honest. No. So I had it back there so people could, like, put the pillow against the side of the cab. And then, like, lean against it so your back wouldn't be up against the hard part of the innards of the cab. And I do remember fondly that somehow, was it you?
Probably.
I think you picked it up and started bashing people with it, and then it ripped, and there was just stuff all over the cab of my car. We were waiting in line at White Castle, and you just, boof, 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 rip, poof.
Went everywhere. That's funny, when you started talking about my old pickup truck, when you said it, I'm like, I remember those pillows in the back. Yep, that's exactly why.
That's exactly what happened.
Oh, dear.
One of the small snafus of our friendship.
Just small.
Yeah. Should I share the infamous one? The dip?
Sure.
So, you know, was it like the first pay-per-view we ever watched? Because what happened was, weirdly enough, did we ever talk on another episode how we met? I think we did, didn't we? Did you just have a wrestling radio show? I'd call in. I was one of the other callers. Yada, yada, yada. Found out you lived a block over from me in North Columbus. Invited us to myself and my roommate, DJ Steve OD. And so we walked over. And I knew that you had, at the time, had the habit of doing snuff.
Yes.
You know, rub, whatever you want to call it, skull. And I said, hey, what should I bring? And you go, chips and dip. And I don't know why I was thinking this. I thought you meant dip as in skull. So I showed up with Lay's potato chips, two bags, and three rolls, three cans, if you will, of skull.
Which was perfectly fine for me. But yeah.
But a lot of people found that hilarious.
It was,
yes. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't even know why in the God's name I thought that was what you wanted.
I don't know why either. I gladly accepted it.
Sure. And it was scrum-diddly-umptious, wasn't it?
Yes, I traded you for two blankets filled with SARS, I believe, didn't I?
Maybe. I'm not Native American, so I don't know if I would take that trade.
I don't know.
Anyways. So let's talk a little bit about wrestling, if you will.
Yeah.
Because that's what the people want to hear, probably.
I guess.
They're tuning in, so. Recently, I emailed you this. There was an article online about some of the most, I guess it was a bunch of different writers sitting around talking about the most wasted talent in WWE.
Yes.
And so they threw out a bunch of names. And you and I shot a couple emails back and forth of it. I'm not going to read all of them, but there was quite a few on here. Vader was on multiple times.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, are we going to, do you want to?
Yeah, go ahead. You can talk about Vader. That's fine. Yeah, sure.
And I don't disagree with that. The problem is at the time when Vader came around, which was 95-ish, there was a gentleman that was kind of in power called Shawn Michaels, who didn't really like anybody other than his closest friends. And unfortunately, I think Vader fell into that category. They had that match at SummerSlam 1996. And you can actually YouTube this. Vader was on his back, and Michaels went up to like drop an elbow or something, and Vader was supposed to move. I don't know if you know this. And he jumped off the ropes. Vader didn't move. Michaels just lands on his feet, looks down at him, and says, "You were supposed to move, motherfucker," and then boots him in the face. And I think from then on, it was, and that was for the title. So, I mean, Vader was up there for the title
shot.
And I think after that, he kind of fell out of good graces.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one. I don't see where that was a wasted talent because of politics. The same with, you know, one of the other names they threw out there, Mark Mero. I think Mark Mero was a victim of some politics because his wife was getting big. So I don't really think that that warrants being, quote, a wasted talent. Nor there were some other ones on there that I thought was stupid, like Jake the Snake Roberts.
How was that a waste of talent?
Yeah, he got a major push. I mean, granted, he never got a title.
But see, back in the 80s and even the early 90s, I mean, they didn't put a title on everybody in the company.
No,
either.
Right.
I mean, now when you have guys like, you know, I don't even know who has the U.S. title anymore. I don't know if it's still Dean Ambrose or not, but I mean, he's held it for so long.
I think
long.
Big E has it. Doesn't
well,
he?
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I forget.
Things
who's
like
the
that.
Intercontinental champ? I don't even know.
Wade Barrett is the Intercontinental
champ.
Oh,
you mean Bad News Barrett?
Oh, Bad News Barrett, yes.
Not Wade Barrett.
Excuse me.
Well, I've got some bad news for you.
Yeah, it's getting over.
I'm the Intercontinental champion.
But, yeah, I mean, because, I mean, he never had a title. I mean, guys...
Yeah, like
really have them.
Yeah, there was another one that they listed, like Ricky Steamboat. I'm like, well, yes, correct. Ricky Steamboat had all the skills to be a great champion, and he was the Intercontinental champion, albeit very shortly. You know,
did you happen to ever hear the reason why he didn't have a long run for the Intercontinental Championship?
Go ahead and entertain
so
that idea.
I had just heard some kind of shoot interview with him where he found out, you know, he was getting the title, and he was actually supposed to be in line for a very long title reign, but his kid was going to be born, and he talked to McMahon and said, I just need to take, you know, a week off or something to go be with my wife, and McMahon pretty much said, fine, but you're losing the title then. So that's why he only had that short IC title reign. Yep.
Wow.
And again, could be there that he kind of fell off.
Yeah.
Until he came back and became, you know, the real dragon. Or the dragon costume.
You said Bam Bam Bigelow didn't deserve to be on the list. He was thrown out there in this discussion.
And again, there's another guy that the clique hated. Or they didn't hate him, but I've heard stories where they didn't really get along. They kind of respected each other, but they didn't get along. But I mean, Bam Bam, I thought he was a good wrestler, but his character I was never really into. I mean, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
What was the character? Is that just he had tattoos on his head, and so now he had it on his...
Yeah, he's a big guy that can move around the ring.
Yeah.
You know, I guess, you know, I think he was the first one to do that.
And, you know, he did get that main event push for WrestleMania 11 when he did the whole Lawrence Taylor gimmick, and that's what kind of put him on the map in WWE at the time. Because if you remember, he was just kind of a...
He was mid-card. Yeah, right.
You know,
he
had a feud with Tatanka there for a while that kind of put him mainstream.
He first, when he came in, they had the big thing of who was going to be his manager. I remember all the heel managers were trying to get him, and then he ended up becoming a face and had Sir Oliver Humperdinck as his his manager.
He was one of those strange guys that was in the WWF at the time, obviously, in a very early part of the television era.
Right, yeah.
You know, he was there... say like 87-ish,
yeah, 87-ish.
You didn't see
in.
Him for a while, and he came back in like 92, 93.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So he was kind of an odd one there.
Mm-hmm. Here's a couple that I agree with that were thrown out there. DDP. I think that they did miss the boat. The WWE did miss the boat with DDP, cashing in on that. He was hot for WCW. You should have jumped right on that and carried on with that.
And
you know
that stupid stalker gimmick.
Oh, that stupid stalker gimmick was terrible.
In, that's what it was.
I know. Yeah.
He tried to feud with the Undertaker. The whole make me
over his
thing.
Not attractive wife Sarah.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. But I have never really been a huge DDP fan. I don't think he's a great worker. I think he's
not.
He's a good character.
Yes.
Which certainly gets a lot more notoriety than work rate back then. But I was never a huge fan of him. But I do agree that they didn't really use him.
How about John Morrison?
I
agree with that, too. I think they could have done a lot more with Morrison.
But apparently his attitude wasn't the greatest.
Sure.
I mean, that's the thing with these. You don't know what they were like backstage. At least some of them you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know another one that was on there was Shane Douglas.
Dean
Douglas at the time.
Right.
I agree with that, but again...
He was an asshole backstage,
he was an asshole,
apparently.
The clique hated him.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like I said, they were the ones that were kind of running the show at the time, so...
I also agreed with Haku.
Yeah.
Because Haku was always, like, intimidating, and why he never got a push to be, like, the ultimate badass before there ever was one. Before a Taz, if you will, or before a, you know, somebody like that in that moniker, you know what I mean?
Because he was King Haku, which was a decent push.
Then he was part of the Islanders.
When he went to become Ming, help me, was that the Dungeon of Doom?
That was the Dungeon of Doom, yeah. And he was actually he was in the early 80s of the WWE, because when he was King Tonga before that. I mean, so he had been around for a while. The other one was Muhammad Hassan, which I've always said they totally never, ever... That gimmick had some legs, but again, McMahon was quick to... We got to hate him. You know, and I think when he came out and he was doing those vignettes where... You know, they had him walking down the street, and he talked about how just because of his ethnicity, people hated him, and he was born and bred in Michigan, yada, yada, yada. I thought that the fans were kind of like, well, you know what, that's actually thought-provoking. Yeah, mm-hmm. That could be true, but, you know, McMahon wanted a rush, so get out there and say America sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think they screwed the pooch on that one.
Right, because, I mean, that wasn't the basis of his character at the beginning on America Sucks. It was that everybody was giving him the raw end of the deal.
Right, because of his ethnicity or whatnot.
Because the I Hate America thing is so overplayed. I was just watching some old footage of Raws from, like, 1993 when I was bored the other day, and... character that came up was Ludwig Borga.
Ludwig Borga.
Which I think is, I don't know his attitude backstage or anything, but there was a dude that, I mean, looked intimidating, that, you know, had a good character, but never really did anything.
Which, if I remember correctly, I think after the WWE, didn't he do MMA?
I think he tried.
I think he tried. Unsuccessful. And then he was in Parliament over there.
Really?
In whatever... Finland, yeah. I think he was over in Finland, and he was in Parliament or whatnot afterwards.
I believe they called him the Helsinki Hellraiser.
Really? Don't remember that.
Yeah.
I just remember Ludwig Borga.
But...
Didn't he also have a Hasbro figure,
too?
No,
he did.
He did, didn't he? I did not see that at the toy show last week. Damn.
Aww.
Man.
Come on.
You know what I did see? I did see some AWA... wrestling figures, the ones that looked like the He-Man figures.
Yes.
Somebody had a box that were open of miscellaneous ones. They had Baron Von Raschke, the Ric Flair figure, and one of the Fabulous ones. I don't know which one was which, because, you know, the only way to differentiate, one had red boots and the other one had white boots, and I don't know which one it was.
Do you have any of those figures?
I do. I have.
I thought you had the Midnight Rockers, didn't you?
I do have the Midnight Rockers. I have basically that whole line, except for I never got the 2-pack of Abdullah the Butcher and Carlos Colon. I never had the Fabulous ones, and I never had the High Flyers, because they did Jumping Jim Brunzel and Greg Gagne, and then they did Greg Gagne and Kurt Hennig, and that was the one I got, was Kurt Hennig and Greg Gagne.
Interesting.
So yeah, I have all those. I'm such a geek, I know.
And you're not going to sell any of them.
You know, we... Yeah, I know. We had this conversation about me cleaning out my house, and I don't know, man. I'm just weird that way. I just can't get... I don't know why. I don't know what it is about me. Like, I guess that's a stereotype with comic book geeks. Like, we don't want to part with shit.
Could be.
I mean, but I don't know, man. Like, I got all kinds of shit. Like, I even have the ECW action figures that were still in the cards. Like, I never opened them.
That's gotta be worth something.
I think.
Because they weren't around for very long.
No, they weren't. I saw a Chris Candido action figure, but they wanted $8.75 for it.
Was it?
$8.75, by the way.
Open.
Not $800. No.
It was carded?
Yeah.
Wow, I see. I don't know. Maybe
you
were.
I was shocked by that, too. I think that's the thing. Is I think that whenever you, like, look at toys or looked at any collectibles, you got to find the person to buy it, you know, that's going to pay $250 for the G.I. Joe Killer Whale or whatever, you know. The hovercraft.
Yeah, to get specific, I suppose.
Well, you told the story about it at lunch today about the Nintendo video.
Yeah, a friend of mine was looking for an old Nintendo game and went to one of those video game exchanges, but the one he was looking for, they happened to have, like, the original box and it was still shrink-wrapped and they wanted, like, $90 for it.
Shoot.
Like, who's going to buy that? Is there somebody that wants to collect every Nintendo game that's
maybe
still shrink-wrapped? And
possibly.
What do you do with it? I don't know. You collect it.
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know either. Everybody has something they like to do, I guess.
I guess so. You can't fault them.
I cannot.
No. Anyway, so that was basically the most... I mean, there's a lot of others, like Furnace and LaFon. I forgot that they were even in the WWE. That was on one of the most wasted talents. Sean O'Hare. Dr. Death Steve Williams. I think that is true, too. Well, I think Dr. Death's... But again, that's the politics, I guess, a little bit of some things there, too.
Well, because they brought him in to do the Brawl for All, thinking he was going to, like,
kick everybody's
ass, and then he got his ass kicked, and that, I think that, obviously, that was his demise.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Like, all right, you're done.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think he did anything after that.
No, I don't think so either. No, I'm pretty sure he didn't do anything. I think there was that... I think that led Jim Ross to being the heel announcer for a little bit, real quick, and then that was it. And then they quickly dropped that storyline, too. Yeah. So, anyways, so last night was Slammiversary for TNA, because we're recording this on the 16th, which is Monday afternoon. I know you've said you haven't watched much TNA.
Mm-mm.
I watched TNA a couple weeks ago, just out of curiosity, which, you know me, I do this every, six, 7 months, I'll watch TNA instead of just read the results and everything. And, okay, here's my review of Impact. While I did fast forward through a lot of stuff because I didn't really care about all the interviews and promos and whatnot, I wasn't bored with it, but I didn't really think it was the greatest thing
either. Yeah.
You know, I think you talk about overused storylines. So they have the storyline, I guess, where MVP has managed to wrestle, pun intended, control of TNA away from the Carter family, and now MVP, Lashley, and Kenny King are now a group. Oddly, it's all black guys. A little bit racist, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. So, I think that's overdone. But here is the thing that bothered me the most about the whole storyline. MVP is dressed like $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for every promo. Lashley's got his tights on. Okay, I'll give you that. All right. Kenny King looks like he just rolled out of Old Navy. Like, I'm like, seriously, like, he stood out, like, I was like, put him in tights so they match, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have bookends of matching guys in tights, or put him in a suit or something. He's, you know, and he's talking about how he's the king of the night, and, you know, yeah, dude, you look like you just rolled out of Old Navy with your jeans and your t-shirt and that. And that just, to me, it just, if you're promoting this idea that we're the cool kids
together,
on the block, yeah, you know, like Evolution, at least they have the, you know, they all match, you know, whenever they do something, and he didn't match. I thought that was a little bit weird. And then they had several of the, I'm MVP, you guys are friends, Austin Aries and Samoa Joe, you two are going to fight, even though you're friends, you don't like it too bad. And then Eddie Edwards, you're going to fight your tag team partner, Davey Richards, I'm MVP, I'm ordering it. And I'm like, eh. Overdone, man. I don't...
Yeah, and it's boring.
And it is boring. It is. It is. Because Richards and Edwards went out there and just grappled, and they didn't do anything, which led to Kenny King coming out and going, you two aren't wrestling, blah, you should fight. That's what MVP wants. And of course, you know what happens. You didn't even watch it, but I bet you can pick what happens. Go ahead, predict it.
They go out and beat up Kenny King?
Yeah, they did, basically. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The American Wolves, or excuse me, the Wolves,
yes,
went out and beat him up. The only thing that I really liked, I liked the menagerie.
Of the whole thing?
No. They have a group now. You're...
Sorry.
So there's a group, and the storyline is, it's Mike Knox, Rob Terry, and another indie guy, and some Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. And basically the story is that Knox, who goes by the name Knox, his family has owned a carnival for like hundreds of years, but they don't have any more money. So they're here in TNA to fight, to win matches, to make money, so they
and you
can
like that.
I do!
Come on, John.
Why? Do you not like that storyline?
The oddities back in the day, that's
well,
not the same thing.
Well, it is the same. It's rehashed, but it's something different.
I guess. But, I mean, I thought the whole idea of professional wrestling in the 21st century is to take it away from the carny aspect.
Well.
And now we're trying to blend it somehow, saying... We're all, I mean, do they bring out a bearded lady, too, and insane clown posse?
No, but a bearded lady would be sweet.
It
I mean, they
be.
Do have a chick. Because, I mean, Rob Terry is the muscle man. He's like the strong man, even though he's got a mask. He wears a mask, so you don't know it's Rob Terry.
Oh, okay.
And then they have the crazy Steve is like the clown, the hobo clown. Knox is like the ringmaster, and I don't know, the chick is the chick. But she should have a beard. That would be sweet.
Or do something.
Yeah, I don't remember the girl's name. I'm sorry. But I thought it was all right.
I'll give it to you. I mean, it's something different. I just...
Well, here's this is my last critique of Impact. They also are doing something with Madison Rayne and this new knockout Brittany that is somewhat like, I don't know. I think that if you're going to push the envelope, you should just get on board with it, because it's kind of borderline like she's just a fan of Madison Rayne, but then it's kind of like she might be a stalker, or she might even be like in love with her. But it's so convoluted. So just pick an avenue.
Kind of like Mickie James and Trish Stratus.
Right, right. Either make her a stalker, make her a lover, or, yeah, it was really, yeah, ambiguous, and again, rehashed.
I mean, from the results that I read about Slammiversary, it doesn't sound like Madison Rayne or Brittany really aren't even in the mainstream
storyline. Right, yeah, right. No, you're right. Honestly, I read results about Slammiversary this morning. It sounded like, and it got a good rating, that overall, wrestling-wise, match-wise, it was good, but nothing happened.
No.
No titles changed hands.
There were a couple good lines that I read from the review that I saw online. The first one had to do with heels going over, I think. I don't even remember which match it was, but they said, wow, a clean win for a heel. That's not something you usually see on TNA anymore, which it's like,
Yeah.
So I'm glad... You know, that's true. At least one match.
Match was that? I don't remember.
I don't even remember. And then the second one was like, well, at least this beats... And this was the exact line. Beats seeing a midget beating off into a trash can backstage. And it said, yes, this really happened on a TNA pay-per-view.
What?
Yeah, and I was like...
I don't remember that.
So like, was there a midget within that X Division match or something, I think? And, I
have
like,
no idea.
Wow, they actually did that. Because I read the line, and I was like, boy, that's so random. And then I was like, yes.
Midget beating off in the trash can. Why didn't we think of that? Jeff, here's what we need.
That won't draw.
Unless he beats off in the middle of the ring.
Yeah. There's a football game tonight. Nobody's going to watch a midget beat off.
The only two things I wrote down that were anyways noteworthy of Slammiversary is Kevin Von Erich's kids wrestled.
I saw that, and I saw they were greener than a traffic light.
Yeah, but have you... the one looks... you talk about Charlotte looking like Ric Flair in NXT. I don't know which one it is, but the one looks exactly like Kevin Von Erich. And the fact that he wrestles barefoot, too, is even more badass.
Yeah, well, the Von Erichs certainly had that specific look about them. I don't even know how to describe it, but
no.
I can picture it right
now.
Oh,
yeah, so. Yeah. I looked them up, because when I read that online, I was like, what? And I started looking, and I guess Harley Race has trained them. Marshall and Ross Von Erich.
Where's Chrissy Von Erich?
Oh, she's gone, man. What's her name?
I know. I thought it was
Lacey. Lacey Von Erich.
Sorry.
She's close gone. Enough. She's over in L.A. I think she's a real estate agent out in L.A., I believe.
She gave up that dream after... seeing that she can't wrestle.
Yeah, yeah. Supposedly the two boys are better, I guess. I don't know.
I hope so.
Well, they were in Dallas, too. I mean, you gotta give TNA a little bit of credit for, like, we're in Dallas, let's go ahead and let's cash in on that.
And how many of the people that were in attendance actually remember that? I don't know.
I don't know. That's a good question.
The one thing I did read that I give them credit for was the whole TNA Hall of Fame induction.
That's the only other thing I have on here.
Yeah.
Team 3D is supposedly going in.
And that's good. They kind of beat WWE to the punch on that. And it seemed like it got a really good reaction. Of course, D-Von has retired pretty much.
Yeah, I think he's pretty much... he's got other things going on. I think he's the main guy training in their academy, their wrestling school or whatnot. And I think he's got other things going on. But that's certainly good. But speaking of Hall of Fame, there's been some rumors about some possible people going in for the WWE Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And supposedly, it's a real strong rumor that Macho Man will be going in.
And I think that's obviously long overdue, and who knows why they've dragged it on as long as they have. Obviously, Lanny was somewhat against it, saying, you know, if you induct Macho Man, you got to induct the whole Poffo family, and who knows?
Yeah, but, I don't know. I don't know if... what will happen there on that. But I think it would be... I mean, he's got to go.
He's long overdue, yeah.
He's long overdue.
He was a staple in that company for 15 years. And, was one of the main draws for that entire period of time. His character evolved over that time.
Yeah,
where he
sure.
was, you know, just like Hulk Hogan, who only evolved in, 1996 or 7. Well, seriously.
No, you're right.
He was
yeah.
the same character from 88 to 97 until
yeah,
he turned
right.
heel.
Right.
Whereas Savage kind of went back and forth. He did a couple different gimmicks within his own gimmick.
Right, yeah, right, yeah.
And, you know, he evolved with the business. So, I mean, I don't see how you don't put him in, but...
Exactly.
Again, we all know the WWE Hall of Fame is a farce. It's merely for... political gain, and there's no
publicity. Yeah,
publicity.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I don't think the TNA one is much better. There's not, like, you know.
No, I don't disagree.
It's for publicity as well. You know.
You know, and especially I think the WWE Hall of Fame got a lot more notoriety this past year, unfortunately, due to the fact that Warrior passed away
yeah,
less
exactly.
than a week after he was
right.
inducted.
Yeah.
And that got a lot of mainstream media. So I think more people now might understand that there actually is a WWE Hall of Fame. You talk to people that watched it back in the days of the Warrior and Hogan, you know, late 80s, mid 90s, they might not even know that the WWE Hall of Fame exists, so at least I put it on the map.
Yeah, I think so,
I mean,
yeah.
granted, it was not the best way to do it, and I'm sure they wouldn't, oh, who knows what McMahon thinks, but, you know, they probably would like to do it again if they could and not have that happen, but still, sometimes the... bad publicity is still good publicity.
You know, as I've mentioned to a couple friends and whatnot, I've been painting my kitchen, and I've been listening to a lot of podcasts because it helped make things go a little bit easier.
Sure.
And I'm behind on listening to some podcasts, and in fact, we'll talk more about those in a minute. But one of the things that was mentioned was, two interesting facts. One... when King Kong Bundy came back, like in that
96?
Yeah, I was going to say 95, 96 uh-huh. era, do you know he still had to do a tryout match?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm sure he's a heck of a nice guy.
I don't know. I've never met the guy.
He wasn't much of a wrestler. I mean, his draw was he was freaking huge.
Yeah, yeah, and he was squash guys. Yeah,
yeah.
But it's just weird because, you know, WrestleMania 2, he's in the main event. And then he, you know, he has to try out again. But the other, and this is more poignant, this is more interesting. It came out, I don't know how many millions of dollars Linda McMahon spent on her failed campaign for U.S. Senate. It was a lot of money. Somebody had mentioned on a particular podcast that money, which essentially was wasted, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, she didn't win, so you wasted it, you might as well say. Could have helped to finance a lot of guys' retirement, paid a lot of hospital bills. Even some rehab for some of the boys that actually generated that money for her. Which I thought was pretty poignant and pretty interesting.
So, I mean, we're going to get on a whole nother train here. You know, I'm a fan. I have been for a long time. But I think this way. Those guys know what they're getting into.
Sure.
And I can't fault McMahon for running a hugely successful company knowing that he doesn't have to pay anything but people's salaries. And it's an independent contractor salary.
Yeah, right, it is.
It's
You're correct.
The individual's, you know, their prerogative, whether they're going to sign this contract, which is still odd to me that you have to sign a contract even though you're an independent contractor. You have to give all the rights to your name, all the rights to this, that, and the other. And they have people... just banging on the door to do it.
Sure. I'm in the same boat with you, too. I agree with you in that same line of thought. You know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
You know, the same as, I'll say it on this, I do not feel sympathy for any NFL, NHL player that talks about concussions. You know what you're getting
yeah.
into. You know that what you're doing is an incredibly physical job. And those are the risks, you know. And, you know, here, I'll actually share this. When I was in college there, I went to college with a gentleman whose cousin was John Lilly. Now, John Lilly, for many people, that name doesn't ring a bell. But in 94, during the Winter Olympics, John Lilly was on the USA hockey team. He was on, you know, that team was pretty successful. I don't think they won a gold medal, but they won bronze or something. So they were pretty mm-hmm. successful. And this is bring the NHL players to the mm-hmm. Olympics so
right.
that we can feel good about ourselves type of idea. So John Lilly ended up getting signed by the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, all right? And he received, from what his cousin told me, $3 million. That was his signing bonus, all right? He took that money and he invested it. He invested it in a house and a car, all right?
Okay.
And put the rest in the bank. John Lilly never played in the NHL. More than maybe like three or four games. That was it. Minor league the rest of his playing career. That's smart.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that when you're getting into that particular profession, pro wrestling, football, hockey, heck, even baseball and basketball, you know, because you can throw that in there as well. Though you wouldn't probably not get a concussion. You can blow a knee out in basketball and be done. You know, he was smart with his money. And I think that you would have to be that way when you're getting into this type of line of work.
Yeah, and I a lot of times equate professional wrestling to that of baseball in the sense that with baseball, they have, you know, the minor league systems, and I kind of equate that to independent wrestling where you don't make any money until you get to the big time, and maybe 1% of the people that actually get into professional baseball actually make it to major league.
Sure.
And that's exactly the way it is. And again, professional baseball, they don't really have any retirement. They don't really, you know, nope. What I mean? It's, you know what you're getting into. We're going to pay you handsomely. And it's pretty much up to you from here on out to go for. Like you said, I don't feel bad for those guys that claim this, that, and the other. You know what you're getting into. Nobody forced you. Nobody twisted your arm.
Well, hell, I'll be honest. You know, I play rec league hockey. If I got hurt pretty badly, I'm not playing again.
Well,
I mean, you know what I mean? And I mean, and I've said that, you know, if I got one concussion while playing rec league hockey, that's it. I'm done. I'm not going to play again. Just because it's not, the benefit, the joy of playing the game, but yet that injury would probably scare me enough to go, no, you know, especially because I believe I've had a few undiagnosed concussions in my childhood.
Well, that would make perfect sense.
I've fallen off a bike a couple of times and hit my head, and I'm pretty damn certain that I was concussed a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you.
You know, so, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, again, I just thought it was interesting that came up. And it is somewhat interesting, but hey, you know, again, I agree with you. You know what you're getting yourself into. And if you're not,
and
you know.
If you want to make a change, you have to do something. And I was just talking to my wife about this the other day. I get so tired of people that complain about things. And granted, it's probably just internet smarks or whatever that are talking about that. But if professional wrestlers or whatever, they absolutely, you know, oh, we should be getting this, that, and the other. Well, then do something about it.
Sure, yeah, right, yeah.
But the problem is, just like baseball, there's going to be 1,000 people ready to take your spot.
Yeah.
That's just, and you have to give credit to Vince McMahon for building that kind of empire to realize, I don't have to do shit. And these guys are going to come knocking on my door. Good for him. I mean, I wish I could be so lucky in business that I could build a model that would be a cash cow. Granted, I don't think it's as big as a cash cow as it was back in the early 90s before they went public.
Mm-hmm.
I think, unfortunately, they're in a position now where they're not going to be making as much money as they could.
Which is rumored why many of those individuals got cut earlier, later this past week, I should say, Friday or Saturday, that, about 10 people got cut from the roster. But to be honest with you, none of those were shocking.
No.
I said the only one that was shocking was Oksana because she kind of was on TV a bunch, but we haven't seen Brodus Clay in forever. You know, I mean, McIntyre and Mahal, they've just basically been part of a job team for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. Evan Bourne's never wrestled in the last, 2 years because he's been injured. JTG, good lord. I can't believe he's still employed.
He must have a really good attitude.
He must. He must be a yes man like you would never believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and the rumor was because they lost $357 million, you know, that's why some of those cuts happened, and there's rumors to be more cuts coming.
Well, and that's the thing, they being WWE, Vince McMahon, whoever you want to say, they've really put all of their eggs in one basket with the WWE Network. Now, you and I, we're going to sit here and we're going to say it's awesome. I mean,
sure.
I love it.
Yeah, I love it too, yeah.
Just last night, you know, I was, like I said, I was watching old episodes of Raw from 1993. I mean, where else are you going to be able to do that?
Nowhere.
It's awesome. But on the flip side, all of those casual fans that, let's say, maybe order one pay-per-view a year. Maybe it's WrestleMania. Maybe it's the Royal Rumble. That's not going to last forever. That's going to go away. They're going to lose pay-per-view.
Yeah, and I think that that's going to lead me into one of Orlando's faves, and I'll talk about that in a minute. This was also mentioned on a podcast that I think that the WWE's got to reevaluate how they're going to do things with the WWE Network. I think that you're not going to get, like, right now, I mean, hey man, it's a hell of a deal. $9.99 for 6 months and you get all the pay-per-views free. That's right. A hell of a deal, man. That's a hell of a, so you're losing revenue on that. How are you making it up? Because there are no commercials, per se. Nope. They're WWE commercials. There's no, you know, Bing is not advertising on there, or Hertz Rent-A-Car, or anything like that. You don't have corporate people going, oh, hell yeah, I'll sign up and advertise on the WWE Network.
And they might get to that point someday.
And maybe, yeah, sure, yeah. But I think that they got to think about how they're doing television, how they're going to structure contracts for folks.
Well, or how are they going to develop the network? I mean, I don't know what their target was at 1.1 million subscribers. That's got to be thrown out the window at this point. But
have you seen figures? Do they have
them? The last figure that I saw is that they were at like 700-some-odd thousand. But I mean, I've heard that they had reached that 1 million mark. I don't know.
I've not heard that or seen anything about that.
I think it's going to get to the point where they're going to pull out certain pay-per-views of that package.
Oh, they're going to have to, yeah.
If they want to, A, keep the casual fan engaged.
Yes.
And B, they want to remain on pay-per-view, because it's only a matter of time. You know, you saw DirecTV drop them, Dish Network drop the pay-per-views. You know, AT&T, UVerse, or whatever, just bought DirecTV, so it's going to be only a matter of time before it's gone off of UVerse.
Yeah.
And then I think most of the mainstream cable companies, a lot of them hate Vince McMahon to begin with. They're going to start pulling off of pay-per-view. If it's not making them money, what's the point?
Well, and then there was also, talking about the $350 million that they lost, there was also a television deal, right? Which I didn't read too much about that, and you're the guy that has the broadcasting background. What was the ins and outs
on that?
I don't
remember the exact number, but I do know that a lot of the investors felt that they fell dramatically short of the number that they could have gotten. Because they have one of the highest rated programs on cable television. Granted, cable TV is rated in terms of viewership a lot differently than broadcast television.
Well, yeah, I was going to mention that. It's not like Nielsen ratings.
Correct.
It's because, yeah.
But still, you know, they re-signed with NBC Universal. But I think the figure was not very much compared to what folks thought they could get. Now, granted, you don't know the behind-the-scenes aspect of it. Maybe CBS Viacom just pulled out and said, you know, we really don't care about it. We don't want wrestling.
Yeah, right.
It could
or,
be.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Even, you know, the Fox Network affiliates were like, you know what, we could put it on FX, but, you know, we really don't want to invest that kind of money. And therefore, the price starts going down.
Sure. Yeah. Right.
Again, I don't know the ins and outs of the deal. All I do know is that shareholders and investors and things of that nature thought that the price was way too small based on the ratings that they get for USA Network and even Sci-Fi.
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah.
Or
so
whatever it's on now.
No, it's Sci-Fi. Yeah. It's on Sci-Fi. SmackDown. You don't watch SmackDown that much?
Very rarely.
Okay. I'm in the same boat, too, because it's a Friday night. Usually I got things going on. However, you know, since we're talking about the WWE Network, the two of the shows are incredibly helpful. Are those Backstage Pass shows. Because okay. you get a quick recap of everything that went on, the major storylines on the, you know, the Raw Backstage Pass and SmackDown Backstage Passes, which I've been watching more of those, especially during track season. I watch those a lot just to keep up on what's going on, you know, who's doing what and where and all that jazz. Obviously, I think the best show on there is NXT.
You just took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, we were talking earlier about Vince McMahon building an empire of stooges. I don't mean to use that in a derogatory term. But people that will do anything for him.
Yeah.
Jump how high.
Yes.
How genius is it, you know, that
or kiss his ass. He doesn't ask people to jump high. Kiss it! Bark like a dog!
It's pretty funny that I was listening to a podcast with the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast with Eric Bischoff. It was like a five-parter.
Holy
shit!
They
went on forever, but the one part he said was there was only two angles that he ever said he would never do. And one of them was they wanted him to join the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club, and he said no.
What was
I
the
can't
other
do
one?
That. I'm trying to remember what the other... Oh, it was how his exit, if you remember, I think he wrestled like either Cena or Chris Jericho.
Okay.
And if he lost, he was fired, and they wound up throwing him into a
garbage truck. Right, yeah. The garbage truck, wasn't it?
Yeah, he said he vetoed the idea of Cena doing it and actually told McMahon, I want you to do it. because I think it would be much more impactful if you came down and tossed me into the garbage truck.
Okay.
He's like, but those are the only two things I ever said something different or I wouldn't do.
Sadly, watching a midget beat off was not one of them.
Yes, but going back to what I was saying before about NXT, it's genius in the sense that it was an internet-only show, and I can't imagine there was a lot of folks
watching. I never watched it on the internet. Never.
So now you have this idea of the network, and I gotta think, I mean, it's gotta be one of the biggest draws on the network.
Yeah.
They're doing a great job pulling current WWE superstars down, like you see Tyson Kidd,
Sin Cara.
People that aren't getting a lot of TV exposure to put over talent down there. Camacho, I think, just got released, but he was one that was down there a lot.
Yeah.
So,
side note, do you know whose kid that is?
Camacho?
Yeah. No. It's Haku's kid,
no?
I believe. I think I read that somewhere. Yeah,
podcast
I was like,
comes
wow,
circle.
he's not, yeah, and he's not even Mexican. Well, and as we all learned with Vince, close enough. What? Los Matadores, they're Cuban, fuck it. They
Mexican.
Can be, they're Mexican.
Everybody's Mexican.
Yeah, you know.
If you're of a different color, you're either African-American or Mexican.
There's
no other nationality.
No other. Yeah.
But yeah, it's. I think it's a great idea to bring people in. To sign contracts, you know, to get them into this deal we were talking about. John, I can't give you a whole lot of money, but what I can promise you is that you're going to see 600,000 people a week are watching NXT. So,
well, and then it was thrown out, too, in a conversation I had with some other wrestlers, too. You know, it's probably still a victory for Chris Hero. And because, you know, the rumor is Kevin Steen's going to NXT. That they signed Kevin Steen, right? So, and I wouldn't put this past Vince and them, that for NXT, let's sign one of those hot indie guys. And we'll keep him for a couple of years, and if he catches on, fine. If he doesn't, guess what? We release him, and guess what? Bigger star now.
Well, even Sami Zayn, we were talking
about.
Right,
exactly, yeah.
For people that weren't fans of independent wrestling or Ring of Honor, I mean, they wouldn't know that it was
El Generico.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I didn't. At first, I watched it. I was like, that guy seems really familiar.
Yeah.
And I happened to look it up. I'm like, okay, that's why.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that to an extent that is true, that it will help those other individuals. You know, I'm sure that Chris Hero now, he's back with Ring of Honor, so I'm sure he's worked some type of contract with Ring of Honor, because from what I understand now, everybody gets a contract in ROH, because let's be honest, it's corporate.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's Sinclair Broadcasting. They have hundreds and hundreds of TV affiliates all across the United States.
And how pissed are you if you are Chris Hero that you left NXT just before the network launched?
Well, he didn't have a choice. You
well,
know?
I know.
I'm just saying how
he's got to be like, damn it, if I only stuck around for another 2 or 3 months.
The story that I was told was that, you know, they always like to yank guys out of the ring while they're working out and they're working, you know, doing drills or whatnot, and go, hey, can we see you in the office? And I guess the story is that Chris Hero, when they did that to him, he goes, all right, this is goodbye. which you got to think, for the first couple guys, that's got to suck, right? Like, hey, can we see you, Adam, in the office? Yeah, all right. Hey, yeah, you're released. Oh.
Yeah, well, it sounds like if you watch, you know, you and I have talked about when you watch Total Divas, it seems to be that way. Like, they'll just meet you around the corner and say, I'm sorry, we're going to have to let you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Okay.
Thanks for the warning.
Thanks. Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, but
writing on the wall, man.
It's a.
Or you think that? I think anybody that's on Total Divas is a little bit safe right now.
Because
that show's
hot.
You know.
Yeah, which is beyond me.
But. Oh no, it's not, man. I've said it many times. It's for women. It's wrestling without the wrestling. That's what it is. It's all what it is.
Yeah, that's true.
You know. And
have
hey,
you seen
more
Cameron and or Naomi on television in the last 3 months?
Nope.
No.
Tyson Kidd?
Yeah, there's a guy that's benefited.
Yeah, exactly.
100-fold.
Yeah.
In 2 seasons of Total
Exactly.
Divas.
He has.
The
and
Usos?
He's not. Yeah, the Usos, yeah. And you know what? I don't think Tyson Kidd's going to be like Mark Merrill and be like, fuck that, man. I'm a big star. My wife. Nope. Just ride along, Tyson.
He knows he's
Shut
not a
up,
big
star. TJ, and just roll, man. Roll with it.
Yeah, TJ knows he's not a big star.
No.
It's unfortunate, but.
No, because he's a talented dude. Talented,
yeah, very talented.
But, you know, hell, wrestling's filled with talented dudes that never got their just due, as we said with the, you know, most wasted WWE talents, you know?
There's no doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
Poor Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, poor Dolph
Ziggler.
There's
got to be something going on backstage with him where he's a complete prick or something. I mean, I don't know. I say that just because everybody that watches the television show knows that that guy's great.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Damien Sandow.
Yeah, Damien
Sandow. I think Damien
Sandow
has a crappy character, but he's a very entertaining worker.
Yes, he's very good.
I say crappy character not because he's doing all those stupid imitations and crap.
Yeah, because he needs to go back.
Yeah,
he needs to go back. Oh, yeah, yeah. He needs to go back to being the genius circa 2014 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that was a great gimmick that was getting over. It had great heat. Not dressing as Lance Stevenson, whom, by the way, I had no idea who that was. I literally, when I saw that segment on Raw a few weeks ago, grabbed my phone and looked up who the hell Lance Stevenson was. I didn't know. I was like,
I would have known.
There's a guy in the NBA that has a big giant black beard. Just like, oh wait, no. He's a black dude? That doesn't even make any sense. Like, when I pulled it on, I'm like, that doesn't even make any sense.
Surprised Vince didn't put him in blackface.
Oh.
Here's a great idea. Hey, man. You see that chocolate cake over there? Go ahead and stick your face in it. It'll be hilarious.
You mean a Chocholet cake?
Yeah, Chocholet cake, yes. That would be hilarious.
I told the story to Adam at lunch about a friend who has a daughter in high school, and she was hanging out with a couple other friends, and they know of a girl in another Columbus Public City high school who spells her name Chocolate but pronounces her name Chocholet.
Hilarious. I love it.
What'd you get for Easter, John? Oh, fabulous Chocholet bunny.
That's hilarious. Chocholet leche. Chocolate milk. I'd love to know what her middle name is.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
That takes some creativity for
that
sure.
That does. That poor girl. She better be hot. I'm serious. She better be, right?
Hot Chocholet.
That was an unintended pun.
Yes.
I really wasn't. Oh, man. Sexual Chocholet.
Good old sexual Chocholet.
If Mark Henry's listening to this and we see him on TV next week doing a Chocholet gimmick, we know where he got
somebody.
It from. Yeah. We know or no. He stole it from us. We're just suing him.
We're suing his ass.
Holy cow, it's really storming outside. Yeah,
storming Norman. There's another guy that...
Who?
Mark Henry, that you wonder how he's been around for as long as he has.
But supposedly he's one of the nicest guys in the back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, incredibly helpful, like incredibly humble, and supposedly smells the best.
Who told you that?
William Regal, apparently, I think on Stone Cold's podcast, said something that he was the best-smelling WWE superstar.
And you would think the
you
latter.
You would think the latter. Exactly. You would think that dude, like, oozes, like... Some foul body odor, man.
If I was to sit here and think, who would be the smelliest guy based on television? The one that comes to mind first is The Big Show. He's got to be the smelliest.
You think?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, he's got a lot of orifices and flaps.
Oh.
He probably doesn't get washed all the time. I'm just saying.
Ugh.
Sure, he's a hell of a nice guy, too, but...
Ugh. I don't know what to say.
Sorry.
I think Jerry the King Lawler probably smells pretty bad.
You think?
Yeah, because you know why? I bet he's one of those type of dudes that overdoes the
cologne.
Oh,
he horse baths?
Yeah.
Takes a horse bath?
Yeah, either he overdoes the cologne or the Axe body spray or whatever, and he probably just, like, you can smell him coming around the corner.
He smells like Geritol and Phoenix. Ben Gay and Phoenix. I don't know why, but apparently the number one scent for pro wrestlers, Axe Phoenix. Remember that? Everybody seems to wear it.
I don't know, man. I've never paid that close of attention.
I'm sorry. I guess I spend too much time backstage.
I guess
you're
so.
Out in front.
I'm always out in front, yeah, doing my shtick.
I get
so,
to see that.
Yeah. Anyways. So, hey, by the way, just today, news broke, Tony Gwynn died.
Yeah, I know, that's hard to
believe. You were very sad by that fact.
Well, because, I mean, it's, you know, the hero.
I didn't know he had cancer, to be honest with you, first of all. I just knew he had retired. I didn't even know he was sick, to be honest with you.
I heard he had Alzheimer's, too, and he didn't even realize he had cancer.
Ah, bum bum.
But no, I...
Are you sure you're not going to North Carolina and embark on a comedy
maybe.
Tour?
I don't never say never, John. But no, it's sad just because, you know, I'm a huge baseball fan. I play a lot. I watch a lot, and you know, growing up, he was one of my idols just because he was one of those again, don't know what he was like backstage, so supposedly on the bench, but I mean, he always seemed to be a really nice guy and went about his business and was one of the best, you know, hitters of all time and, you know, always seemed to be ready for interviews and give interviews, autographs. He was very humble. It's just unfortunate that
The third. As it seems that celebrity deaths come in threes, because yesterday Casey Kasem died, and then on Friday Chuck Knoll, legendary Steelers coach, passed away as well.
Because I'm wearing my Steelers watch today.
I see.
I was sad to hear that too.
Yeah.
Not too many NFL coaches are going to have four Super Bowls anymore. Granted, there's some out there now. Why is the name Bill Belichick? Does he have four? I can't remember if he has three or four.
That's a good question. I'll have to look that up. I don't know.
I'm sure people are yelling at their
computers
right now.
Like,
so I apologize.
God damn it! Yes, all those Patriot fans. Yeah. I don't know. I'll look in my stats, see how many Patriot fans are logging into the podcast. But
sure.
Anyways. All right, well, as we're getting up here real quick, let me go ahead and hit Orlando's faves, and then we'll shill some stuff, if you will. Hey, you know what? I'm just going to mention it. These are two podcasts that I've listened to recently. They're my faves, which I know is probably going to be weird. Like, people are like, wait a minute, you're a podcast, and you're giving props to another podcast. But they entertained me, and they were really, really good. The first one I'm going to go with is Colt Cabana's Art of Wrestling, episode 185. Mike Quackenbush was the guest, and this was recorded, I believe, 3 weeks or 4 weeks prior to the restart of Chikara. Here's why it was a fave. It was captivating.
Mm-hmm.
And as I told you, it was captivating because either Mike Quackenbush is the biggest genius in professional wrestling, or he's borderline insane. And if you listen to it, though he does point out a lot of things that I totally do agree with in terms of wrestling. Like, for an example, one that stuck out is that he was vehemently against and hates when he goes to an indie show and a guy works and then goes sits in the crowd.
Mm.
You know, he goes, how disrespectful is that to the people that paid money to believe you're this wrestler? And then 20 minutes after your match, you're coming out and sitting down and watching the show. And having a hot dog. Which I totally agree with that. But anyways, it's an interesting one. And if you get a chance, you love pro wrestling, I would definitely check out 185, Art of Wrestling, with Mike Quackenbush. Very interesting. Very interesting. The other one is also wrestling related. I love How Did This Get Made?
Yes.
That's a great podcast. Listen to it a lot. Number 84, No Holds Barred.
Yeah, why don't you kind of describe what that is, the podcast itself.
Oh, How Did This Get Made?
Yeah,
so basically Paul Scheer and his co-host, which I think is June Diane Raphael and Jason Mantzoukas, they sit down and they pick out bad movies, and then they watch, all three of them watch, and they compare notes, and they talk about things, and they discuss how ridiculous the movies are. This one was done live, which I think their episodes live are much better. It was live, and guest starred Thomas Lennon, who many people know from Reno 911 as Jim Dangle, Lieutenant Jim Dangle.
Lieutenant Dangle.
And they just really had a blast with No Holds Barred.
And yeah, I'll second that. I found out about this podcast from you.
Yeah.
The first one I listened to was Howard the Duck. and that was a movie when I was young, was like real taboo because it was like, it was rated R. It was,
yeah.
And I remember watching
it. Duck titties.
Yes. And I remember watching it and just thinking, this is the worst movie I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of fun to listen to them. They'll bring up specific scenes and talk about logistics.
And they actually also give you some trivia as well. Mm-hmm. You know, about it. You know, another one that I listened to while I was painting was Daredevil.
Okay.
Which they had comic book writer Ed Brubaker was the guest. It was not live, but he actually had a long run on Daredevil, the comic book. And they talked about it, and, you know, Daredevil actually was a commercially successful film.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a very good film, you know, overall. And they talk about it, but No Holds Barred was really fun. I mean, they had a good joke. Like, and this is a good point that they bring up. Why couldn't Hulk Hogan be Hulk Hogan? Why did he have to be Rip, you know? And which, I was like, well, if I remember correctly, and I think this is true, I believe that they, at one time, paid royalties to Marvel Comics to use the phrase Hulk. So maybe that was it, but it was an interesting side note to that, that why wasn't this a vehicle for the WWF to go, hey, this is our film, they wave the flag. They claim, actually, one of the trivias that they give, and I don't want to give away too much because I want people to go listen to it, but they claim that the original script McMahon and Hogan hated, and the two of them spent 72 hours in a hotel rewriting the whole movie.
Wow. Hard to believe.
Yeah.
I actually watched an old, I don't remember if it was... I think it was an old David Letterman when he was back on NBC when he was on the 12:35 slot or whatever.
Okay.
And he had Vince McMahon on and he was promoting No Holds Barred.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it was interesting. McMahon was an ass even back then.
Yes.
He was giving like one word answers to everything, you know.
Was Chris Elliott in there? Because remember, Chris Elliott was part of the David Letterman show. He had bit parts as different characters.
I did not see him at that time. Just kind of interesting that you mentioned that, but yeah, the podcast
Chris
is
Chris Elliott.
Well, no, just Holds Barred in general.
I'm surprised too. I mentioned Chris Elliott. Hell, Chris Elliott's probably shocked that I mentioned his name.
No
anyways,
kidding. But yeah, it's a great podcast. I was listening to the newest one, which was Ernest Goes to Jail. Again, a movie that I watched as a kid. Again, box office success, which is odd.
Was it? Did they mention that?
Yes, it was.
Really?
But.
Jim Varney died, didn't he?
Yeah, he died very young, only at 50.
Whoa! Okay. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
That's okay. Yeah, they do mention that as well. They claim he was still filming like an Ernest movie when he died. It was like Ernest Becomes a Pirate or something like that. I'll have to look that up to check out the validity. But nonetheless, the podcast is very entertaining. Especially if you've seen the movies. Like I had not listened to the Daredevil one. I had not seen that movie. So as I go through, I kind of look at the ones, I've seen that, so I can kind of relate to it.
Right, exactly. And that's one of the things, like, I think my favorite episode they ever did was Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Another one that was live in front of an audience. It was just hilarious. I thought it was really good. But yeah, so there you go. Those are my faves. How Did This Get Made? Number 84. Art of Wrestling 185. Check those out. Just Google it. You'll find out where to go. I mean, you know, that's enough. So... with that being said, wow, it is really thundering and lightning out there.
That it is.
Wow. Anyways, all right, with that, let's start wrapping things up. So you're off to North Carolina at the end of the week.
Yes, sir.
Godspeed, as they say.
Thank you.
You don't use that enough in modern society, do they? Godspeed,
I don't think so,
child.
But yeah, it's been a pleasure. All right. I'll certainly be around.
I have a question, though. Do you feel, I don't know, I'm going to say this, and I'm like, people are probably going to go, what an asshole. But do you think goodbyes mean as much nowadays as it did like 30 years
ago? No, and I know exactly what you're thinking, because we have social media, we have email.
Technology.
And it's funny, and I've kind of used that to help me get through, if you want to call it, the sadness of leaving folks behind. Because yes, you are able to communicate a little better. Everybody has a cell phone. Back in, you know, 1995, we were talking about 90s. I mean, nobody had cell phones. Nobody had really computers. They were just really coming out. I mean,
the internet. Yeah, the internet was very, very rudimentary.
So, no, I completely agree with you. You know, you and I can talk on a cell phone at night, and it doesn't cost us any more money than the phone itself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I completely agree with you.
Yeah, I think the world is a lot smaller.
Yes.
End of story. Thanks to technology. Which is a good thing and a bad thing, I think.
Yes, I
at times it's good. At times, I think it's bad. But... nonetheless. All right. Anything you want to plug? Shill? Anything? No?
No. Just keep me in your thoughts if you're churchgoers. I really appreciate it.
Or OCW fans. Don't cut them out, man.
Yeah, OCW fans. It's been a pleasure.
I bet they won't forget about you.
I hope not.
They won't.
I don't know. I always felt like I was more of a bit player anyway.
Nah.
But... hopefully I'll get a chance to come back for a show sometime, some weekend, where I can come hang out and see everybody again.
All right. And you told all the guys, right?
I did tell some. I have not told everybody.
Okay.
I don't know the best way to go about doing that. I did tell Mr. Jeff Cannon that I was not going to be around anymore. But hopefully that message will get relayed at some point.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Yeah.
Enough said. All right, well, with that, I'm going to tell you where you can get in touch with me, obviously, on Twitter, at PVDMVP. You can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. Let me know what you think about this particular episode or any episode. Obviously, stop on by, pvdcast.com. I'm going to just say it one more time. May, best month ever for visitors to that website.
Great.
So I'd like to keep that up. I really mean that, and I'm being very sincere on that. I think it's, you know, I don't get anything from doing this podcast other than having fun, you know, and hanging out with people and just bullshitting about what I want to talk about. So for me, keep going to the website, you know, tell a friend, tell two friends, do whatever, and I appreciate everybody that's ever visited, told somebody about it or whatever. Let's keep those numbers going, though. Let's keep them moving. With that, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
I really appreciate it.
You got it. And with that, I will talk at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening. John Orlando, the host of the PVD Cast. I want to take a few moments to tell you about Stitcher Radio. If you don't know, Stitcher Radio is where you can hear the PVD Cast and thousands of other podcasts that are on the network. Stitcher Radio is the greatest app that you could have on your Android or on your iPhone or on your tablet. If you don't have it, go to your app store and download it, or go to Stitcher.com where they'll tell you how to get Stitcher Radio. It is the greatest. It is the best. It's one app. That's all you need, folks. It will let you know when a new episode's up because it continuously updates. So if you want to know when is the next episode of the PVD Cast up, boom, it'll tell you. Trust me, I know. I have friends that have used the app on their particular Android or iPhone, and they love it. They love it. You can get customized recommendations for anything you're interested in, whether it's wrestling, news, entertainment, whatever. Definitely check out Stitcher.com or go to the App Store and pick up Stitcher Radio so you can stay in the know.